the function of, the primary function of Pentecost in terms of your own physical experience is baptism. The Feast of Pentecost is the feast upon which the law was given at Mount Sinai. It's the feast, it's the time at which the Tower of Babel was destroyed. It's the time and many other things, but that, and we'll all be teaching on it considerably between now and then. But the primary function, or the primary thing that happened on Pentecost is that it, if Pentecost had not have occurred, then Christ would have simply been what most of you try to make him. Christ would have been some standard of performance that you have set for yourself or that others have told you about. And so you would have had to accomplish something. You'd have had to either acted in a certain way or not acted in a certain way, or done little things right or not done them wrong, or you would have to, had it not been for Pentecost, you would have had to worship the Christ that most of you still worship. And that's the worst position you could have ever been in. Am I communicating?
Yeah.
So the act of baptism is the act of burying the propensity for either performance or you're worrying about lack of performance. For it buries all the necessity to do or don't do, the shoulds or shouldn'ts, the ought to's or the ought not to's. It buries it forever. Go down in the, John wrote a song that most of you have heard. Go down in the water with all your sin and strife and striving. Go down in the water and be raised with new life. You already are raised with new life. Your only problem is you don't believe it. So you constantly put standards of performance on your behavior and your thought patterns. It's time for that to be gone forever. That's what Pentecost is about.
Should I be taking notes on this? Or me?
Pete?
I think someone else ought to take notes. Do you want me to take
notes? I just want to make sure that this isn't just like a preview, but what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, just write down
what
you
said. Pentecost.
Matt, do you want me to take notes?
Yeah, let Barbara take notes. She's used to it.
There you go. You know what? I was reminded of when you were talking about this. Doug and Butch and Donna and I were together over the weekend, and we're talking about how cleansed and how relieved and how our any self consciousness was erased at the wedding when you said
null and void.
You know, yeah, that it's all erased, and ever since then, even the thought of performance street hasn't even crossed my mind. It's like, there's nothing to worry about. You know, something about that was, as a culmination of those 8 days, it was just totally liberating.
In stealth, we're studying, have been studying, we'll probably study forever, leprosy. What?
Becca's
studying.
Yeah.
Be Barbara.
And there's a direct tie between Pentecost and leprosy. In the act leprosy, there's two complete chapters, the 13th and 14th chapters of Leviticus, plus innumerable other stuff about this thing called leprosy. You can never be healed of leprosy. Can only be cleansed.
Amen.
And it has nothing to do with the act of medical, the act of the physicians or medical profession or anything else. It has to do by a determination of someone with spiritual authority, i.e. a priest. The priest is the one, not you. You don't have the right. You do not have the right to declare yourself clean or unclean. Even the priest does not have the right to declare himself clean or unclean. But every single time that you go through the process of saying you should have done this or shouldn't do that, you are in effect declaring your own priesthood for yourself. And you're saying, I am either clean or I am unclean. Now, it has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with the standards of performance that you have set for yourself, or those that have been set for you by parents, by co-workers, by others, that you can never meet. Or if you can meet them, they don't give you any pleasure when you do meet them. You have lost the right. You don't know it yet because you still do it. I know all of you too well. You still are judging your own standards of performance. You're still defining your own cleanness or uncleanness.
Yeah, I see.
Okay. You get to do it one more time. You get to judge for yourself your cleanness or uncleanness. I hope, just for the sake of, because I kind of like fireworks every once in a while, I hope one of you has the guts to say, I think I'm clean.
It's funny that you say that because... As a matter of fact. No, I was just thinking about, you know, you were talking about how you're never cured of leprosy, you're only cleansed, and I was thinking about how the old man isn't improved, you just... No. Perhaps you can repent of it faster.
All the old man can do is you can paint him with whitewash.
Yeah.
Okay, the law says that in leprosy is the act by which slowly but surely your skin first becomes reddened and then it becomes white. Gunky looking. And then little pieces start falling off. Leprosy is the only phenomenon, disease, if you will, that's spread by a process called zymagotis, zymotic. It's a process that's, in English, it's fermentation. Leprosy spreads throughout your system by fermenting. And so in a spiritual type, your only function as a believer, once you say, Father, I'm yours without condition, then your only function is to let out what's there, and that's called prophesying. And it's really, really, really difficult to do. Because you have spent a lifetime protecting yourself by the wrong rules. If you don't let out what's there, then you internalize what's there, and that's called leprosy. You understand? And so you've become a grape, isolated and rotting, as opposed to the grape that's supposed to be intermingled, let out whatever is there. You're not to judge whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. It will be scraped off by the process of the Holy Spirit. That's what it takes to produce good wine, and that's what we drink to. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine, the bride. But instead, you've spent a lifetime being a grape that's slowly but surely fermenting alone. You don't do that anymore. But it's so much fun to ferment alone. Why? Why do you enjoy fermenting alone so much?
Probably because you're a little worried. And you believe everything you say to yourself.
Well, yeah, you can. You end up, you can define your own standards of rightness.
Yeah. And that's what gives you life.
Yeah.
Or at least predictability.
Okay. The worst leprosy of all is the leprosy that is of the forehead. If you have leprosy in the forehead, according to the law, now this law is spiritual. That means that it doesn't matter what you think about it. I mean, God doesn't really care what you think about it. The fact remains that the law is spiritual. Therefore, the law says that if you have a leprous spot on your forehead, that you are in the worst position possible for the human race. Your only inheritance is to live forever alone. You can never, ever, ever even be with another leper in a leper colony. If the leprosy is in the forehead, you are forever and eternally alone. The reason is, from God's standpoint, the leprosy in the forehead means that you as the high priest in your own temple have taken this, I mean, you as the king have taken your own censer and have lit the fires on the altar of incense yourself, as opposed to the trust that the altar of incense is the continuum of the process towards God. And that's, from God's standpoint, that's the worst possible thing you can do, because it means that you have made yourself your own God. And it violates the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because you have spent thus far your entire life being your own God, God has condemned you to a lifetime, no, to an eternity of aloneness. You have played 10,000 games to try not to be alone. You've gotten married, and then you've gotten married, then you've gotten married, then you've gotten married, then you've gotten married. Then you've gotten married, then you've gotten girlfriends, then you've gotten boyfriends, then you jack off, then you masturbate, then you read, then you go to movies, then you read the Bible, then you come to Bible study, but you are condemned to be forever alone. Why? You have leprosy in the forehead. How do I know? Because I can see it. Now, let the leprosy spread. The law says, the moment you let the leprosy spread, so that you're totally consumed in it, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And the priest says, now you are cleansed.
Amen.
Now you can be baptized. Now you can celebrate Pentecost. Now you can live by the faith of Christ, not in Him anymore. Now you can forever prophesy, commending yourself openly to everyone in the sight of God. So simple. But you have to see what you're doing. I didn't make this up. Well, how come you're the only one that says it? Well, I don't know. I don't care.
What does it mean to let the leprosy spread?
You got to see yourself rightly. If there be in the head or in the forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his head or in his forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his forehead, as leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, for his plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bared. He shall put on a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry forever, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is utterly unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, forever shall his habitation be. I want you to try to understand something. You have to pull yourself out of society for a minute, out of time, to be able to see this. Everything that you have done for yourself and everything that you have done as a result of the activities by your parents and by your family, everything has been an attempt for you as a single leper to find some other lepers to hang around with. All religion is simply an attempt for lepers to have some sort of life. Can you understand that?
Yeah.
And so they play all the games, they play all the stuff, when all that you ever wanted, really, down deep, was to be one with something, anything. You have that illusion sometimes with drugs, you have that illusion sometimes with sex, you have that illusion sometimes when you can escape through media. But it never lasts. And you leave that position and then, oh my God, I'm alone again. Aren't you tired of it? God says all you have to do is be you to no longer be that. It's so simple. Instead of fermenting inward, you prophesy outward. No matter what the cost. Never again fearing the faces of men. Yeah. Never again fearing for your job or your sanity or your... You've been bought with a price. Now you're free to just explode openly, everywhere, at all times. Okay, now you've been declared totally leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. If quick, raw flesh appears the size of a half of a lentil anywhere on your body, you are unclean again instantly, and you're outside the camp instantly. You understand?
What?
You've been declared totally leprous.
You're white.
You're clean. You've been cleansed by the act of the Father. And then, a couple days later, you take it back. Just a little bit. I'm just going to try to protect my ass here a little bit. Or I'm going to take this action and do this course of things a little bit. If it's the size of a lentil, half of a lentil, the flesh has turned over, and now you are seeking to fulfill the desires of the flesh, and you are walking after the flesh, and in the spirit you're unclean. Every word in the New Testament that uses the word flesh or carnality is talking about that state of leprosy. So, What I'm telling you is that the things that you have learned to do and be have simply taught you how to have more raw flesh appearing to make you more outside the camp, more alone. Everything that you've done, from your education to the books you've read to the gimmicks and thought processes that you've accomplished within yourself to try to avoid the aloneness, has only exacerbated the aloneness. It's the opposite. Every time you try to protect your relationships with people, what happens? Raw flesh appears, you're unclean, you're alone. Every time in your marriage you try to protect something, your quick raw flesh is appearing and you're alone again. It's as automatic as night following day. The instant you protect yourself, you're alone again. Now, this particular metaphor is of leprosy. It's the most awesome one because its physical attributes are so readily apparent. Now, what does all this have to do with Pentecost? You can't be baptized until you see that you're totally leprous from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Well, that doesn't leave me much. Well, what it leaves you is the resurrection. Never again having to take thought for yourself. Always and evermore from this point forward. Free. Then, oh, those sincere, nice, wonderful little musings began. Instantly your leprosy. Because quick raw, you're unclean again because quick raw flesh is appearing. If quick raw flesh appears, that's what defiles the temple.
It's like you were talking about putting on a garment without spot. If you're wearing clothes over completely white flesh, it won't ooze, right? There won't be any spots. But if you have raw flesh and you're wearing a garment, you can see the spots.
That's right. And they're oozing spots in leprosy. They're not just nice little blood. There's raw flesh appearing, but around the edges is every conceivable pus, even maggots. I'm not too fond of them my own self. That's what it looks like to the Father when you take your life back. Am I communicating?
How in God's name is this possible? I don't think that there's anybody here, or maybe in the First Baptist Church that hasn't experienced at least a glimpse of what you're saying, knowing full well that it's the truth and everything. But how quickly you go back. Mm-hmm. I mean, how steadily, how inexorably you go back, and back.
That's the beauty of time and space. The reason you go back is why time and space exists. You probably didn't read your reading assignments, did you?
I read them several times.
Well, consider the patience of Job.
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand? From God's economy, he had to make us this way so that when that process begins, and that, man, my God, when you've gone through this, there's nothing in the world that can touch you. And he that has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it. I used to, when I started this walk, 1972 in January, the only thing that God gave me was a first class BS detector. And so every time I go to a church and they tell me how to have more raw flesh appear, how to get nice and how to get, my BS detector would start just beeping. But not only that, I used to get physically ill. So I said, what the hell is going on here? I mean, I'm naming the same name these guys are, yet they're preaching something that is exactly opposite from what I had experienced in Olam, in eternity. And my mind is the same as yours. There's no temptation that has overtaken you that isn't common to me and everyone else. And I used to say to myself, and I saw, I don't care if I have to turn from myself 100,000 times a day. The instant I see the propensity in me to consider anything about me, then I have given all of the land back to the enemy, and I, unfortunately, the thing that happens is the length of time, as somebody said earlier, to turn from self. I mean, all of you, your senses are being exercised to discern soul from spirit. And so the length of time to go from, oh, poor me, to get me out of here, is gone from maybe 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, a month, 2 months, whatever, a day or 3 days, 5 minutes, 1 second, 1 nanosecond. And that's what the process of life is. That's why time exists. Anybody understand that?
Yeah. Lately it's just been, it seems like it's just exhaustive. I've been thinking about you lately. Just, you know, the stuff comes up and I see it. It's like, God, when is it ever going to stop? When is it going to be different? When, you know, when can I rest or whatever?
Now, the instant you turn from self, you're totally at peace. That's why it doesn't matter if I've been studying this stuff and walking this walk for 17 years, or you've been walking it for 17 seconds. We're in exactly the same position. Hallelujah. Nobody's, you can't ever get any better. That's a wonderful thought if you really think about it.
Has it worked so far?
What?
Has it worked so far?
Getting better?
No, it hasn't.
Okay, now, that's why we are going to have Pentecost, because if Pentecost didn't exist, then all of these things that you think about and go for and go after would only be the golden calf religion. It would be another set of behavioral standards that you couldn't meet. But praise God we have Pentecost. And Pentecost is the definition of the point in your life, in history, when that which is the creator of all things chose to tabernacle in you. And because of that, he cannot reveal himself as long as you think you've got something. That's why holiness can never be conscious. The moment you think you got it,
you ain't got it.
Clean, clean. But it's the beauty. It's the great beauty of the test. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I'm serious, and some of you know this. When I can no longer put a trip on you, no one in the universe can.
That's for sure.
When you no longer fear my face, you will fear no one's face. Now, that's not arrogance. That's spiritual authority.
I always wondered why that was the case.
Because it has to be that way.
Otherwise, you would go where that face is now, and you'd stay with it.
Yeah. Rejected all the others. Yeah, and all of you have tried. You don't do too well at buttering me up. I think there was somebody who wrote a song about that. And, you know, from the world standpoint, how can you, you know, I'm supposed to be nice. I mean, that's what Christians, you know, well, pastors are supposed to be nice and have this angelic smile, and shake everybody's hand.
Sure.
I can't do that. Jackie can do that.
Hi, my name's Carrie.
Carrie does it the best, though. Carrie does a great little
Yeah.
So Pentecost is the celebration of the birth, the conception of the seed of God within you.
Glad you're working for your church.
And the baptism is simply the putting away of that worm-infested, pus, maggot-infested flesh.
Well, I mean, you don't leave anything out. It's like, you know, you make it sound so bad. It's like you don't go out and try to find a fabric to go with it or something.
I like this
that oil pattern.
No, wait a minute. Let's stop a minute. This is the best. This is. This is the mystery of the universe. This is why time and space were created.
I mean,
you gotta know, you're tired of trying to find out how to do it. Well, you're not supposed to find out how to do it, you're supposed to be it.
Yeah.
And you just be it by being it. I mean, there's no little classes that you have to do, there's no little things that have to take place, there's no little, it's just being you, that's all. I remember when Bloom and I, about 3 years after I met Bloom, I used to, he and I talked every night. I mean, till late. We officed together down in there. And we were at Lucas B&B restaurant of all places. I said, John, just be you. He said, that's the most difficult job thing anybody's ever told me. Anything, anybody, that's the most inconceivable thing that anyone has ever told me.
Know how to be you.
Well, you don't have to think about it. You just have to be what's there at that instant. Now is the accepted time. Be it, whatever you are, now. Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto this day is the evil thereof. Now, man, when you're in this, when you're in that state of being, then there is no thing, no phenomenon, no externals that you can desire. I mean, you have everything. Now, each of you have that now. Now, either I'm lying and everything I'm telling you is just total bullshit, or your mind is lying to you and it'll lie again in 5 minutes. And you've got to decide. I'm either the craziest son of a bitch that you've ever met, or it's right. I mean, there's no almosts, or it's either everything or nothing. I was so proud of Tyra. We went over to see, she had two aunts and an uncle and stuff, and family kind of people. They're all very nice religious people, except for the most part, they have rejected their religion. They don't go to their church anymore. They have totally rejected that which, but they're real religious. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
All right. And so, it was the Third World War happened Sunday night because they were making fun of the Eighth Day Wedding.
Huh. Were you there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Somebody Tyra brought it on himself.
Fun hell.
And Tyra was, and this one aunt was trying to act as the peacemaker. Oh, no, I just think maybe it's just a little, maybe we just don't have, maybe it's just, you know, maybe it's just, maybe you're just, maybe it's just semantics. Maybe, and Tyra said, no, it's not. You believe exactly opposite of what we buy. Good.
What, in what way were they making fun?
Did you not get to dessert?
No, we didn't. No, because it was making fun in terms of, well, this is bizarre. I never heard of such a thing. I said, where in the hell do you think you got the concept of marriage? You know, I don't know. You know what I'd say. But that's the position. We're coming, you know, you're probably going to hear my infamous Mother's Day speech if any of you come Sunday. It's not a nice thing to behold.
I was telling Jessica about
her. Don't bring your mother.
Didn't Ferguson bring his mother once? Mother's Day? I think he did.
Mother's on Mother's Day.
Huh?
That's rough.
But anyway.
That sermon's a mother.
We have been delivered into something that's so awesome, so spectacular, so wonderful, that all you have to do is be honest with yourself. The only thing you have to do is say, I don't like this acting shit anymore.
No.
I'm not going to act around my mother at Mother's Day. I'm not going to act around my coworkers. I'm not going to act around here. I'm just going to be me. It's wonderful. The reading during the Feast of Pentecost is Exodus 23. I won't go on and on, but one of the readings is verse 19. And this is what I want you to concentrate on.
Yeah.
Because this is what defines a whole lot of things in your life. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. And the strange statement. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Now the only reason that one sees a kid, boils the kid in the mother's milk, is so that it's to be eaten, right? I mean, that's why you cook it so you can eat it. So keep, thou shalt not see the kid in its mother's milk in your mind.
Exodus 23:19.
Okay, now go to Jeremiah 19.
First one there gets blessed.
Well, the, are these not random blessings?
Thanks.
You're on your own there.
This is getting close to performance.
Bingo.
Here.
Yeah, Rex.
Got it. Glory. All the saints.
Jeremiah what?
All the saints racing through the Bible. We get there first. Don't worry, all right.
Jeremiah what?
19.
I don't care.
One.
I'll be priceless.
She's pregnant.
You're
going
to be crazy
today,
man. Oh, Rick!
I didn't
know. Just
know.
He's in Rick Beamer mode.
Jeremiah 19, I'm there.
I'm there.
Last. Well, I'm there.
I didn't know where Jeremiah
was. Hilarious.
Thus saith the Lord. Go and get a potter's earthen vessel and take the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee.
Ancients of the people, is it the old people or is it
going to be? It means the elders of the people and the elders, both the Sanhedrin and the priests, is what he's saying.
Okay, so is he going down to Gehenna to say this?
Okay, stuff? let's talk a minute. From God's standpoint, there's only two positions, there's only two places in the world, in all of time and space. There's only the temple and the valley of Hinnom. Or the valley of the son of Hinnom. In Jerusalem, when you walked outside of the east gate and it goes down into the valley, that valley is the dump, or was the dump, of Jerusalem. Now, think about the dump stuff for a minute. The Valley of Hinnom is what in the New Testament is translated as Gehinnom, or Gehenna, or hell. Okay? All of you know that. There's only, the only reality that exists from the spiritual perspective, no matter where you are, no matter what time it is, no matter time or place, it's either the New Jerusalem or the Valley of Hinnom. There's only the temple or the dump. Now, an interesting thing about a dump is that everything that's in the dump was useful at one time. When it's finished with its usefulness, it goes into the dump. You got it? Everything and what all the, you know, all your little kid stories about heaven and hell, all that's just bullshit. I mean, I'm serious. But the problem is most of you still believe it. I challenge you to search the scriptures to see whether the things I'm going to say here are true. What the world knows about hell is comes from fairy tales. What the scriptures say about it is it's the dump. In order so that the dump didn't fill up the whole valley, they poured lime on it and burned it. And it's fire and brimstone. Just so it burns the stuff up so it doesn't take over the whole temple. So they burn it so they can put more stuff in the dump. Everything in time and space has a function, and then slowly but surely, as it's used up, it goes into the dump. The place that doesn't get used up is what the fairy tales call heaven. That's the mercy seat. That's the place that we are seated with him in the heavenlies. Everything else is the dump. You got it? So Jeremiah, God has told Jeremiah to take an earthen potter's pot, vessel, take the leader guys of the Sanhedrin, the political leadership, and the leader guys of the priests, and give them a little object lesson. You remember when we had the bananas field trip? I took you all out to see the dog vomit.
That almost threw me into it.
I should have rubbed your nose in it. We had a bananas field trip. We went out and looked at dog vomit.
There was some vomit in the front yard. And said, come on, let's go look at it.
This
is you!
I didn't do that.
Yes, you did.
Did I? I did that to Sweet Jackie. Big, deformed kid going with her.
I don't remember if he was there.
See, that's the reason we're not taking you to see Shana.
You probably grabbed Shana too.
All right, so you got the picture.
Yeah.
Jeremiah is going to go on a little field trip. Field trip to the valley of the son of Hinnom. Gehenna.
Hell.
City dump.
Why is
city dump.
Son of
Hinnom. Yeah, who's son of
Hinnom?
Hinnom and son of Hinnom.
You want to know who son of Hinnom is?
No.
I know what you're gonna say. I know what you don't have to say it because I know what you're gonna
who
say.
Who is Hinnom?
You.
You are. Right.
What does that mean? I mean,
we're not gonna study that. Just trust me in that. You can look it up.
Yeah, I know he was gonna say that.
Go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell you. I'm gonna beat you up. What are you laughing at now?
That whole exchange. The words I'm gonna tell you are I'm going to beat you up.
You're next.
Behave now.
A good pastor. Oh shit.
Okay, so some big guys are going down with some pot to
thank you.
She's already minus three blessings.
No.
I'm just trying to get it straight.
Yeah.
Oh, some old guys are going to go down
in the pot.
That's old horns.
Old horns.
Yeah. Each of the people that's Rex and Harry, the only thing.
They'll have lipstick on.
Oh, God.
They all wear size 10
dresses. I know.
Continue with the story.
And more gears than a Mack truck. More gates than a Tennessee Walker.
All right, come on. What does a size 10 dress have to do with
anything? Oh, God. That's a good question.
They think size 10's really big. Are you
what?
Kidding?
No, he had to. He wore a dress
you
today.
You need yourself out of this one.
He wore a dress today with lipstick, and he was saying he was.
This was today.
Well, yeah,
for his job.
My
job.
Day.
It's his job.
My job.
Funny thing is, you wouldn't be wearing like that.
All right, verse 3.
Tear the dress off. Of
are you done, Jackie? You started all this.
Yeah, shut up. I want to hear this.
And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now we, in the Spirit, are all inhabitants of Jerusalem. You understand that? See, you got this is to you. You got to hear this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. That which is perceived by the senses. Evil will come upon this place. He will shake all things in your life, so only that which is unshakable can remain. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it feels like to you. Though Christ were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, so will you. Obedience doesn't mean learning how to say yes like a little lame puppy. It means to hear the word of God under any circumstance that you find yourself in. Hearing under is what the word obedience means. God didn't want any little robots. He wants you to hear and see him no matter what circumstance you find yourself in. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle, because he's scared to death. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods. That is what you do with every one of the thought processes by which you define your own success or failure. You are burning incense to other gods. Your thoughts are the altar of incense in the temple. And when you sit around and muse over your failings or your successes or your future stuff, you are burning incense to other gods. You understand?
Yes.
Whom neither they nor their fathers have known. All the gods that you have were passed on to you by your fathers. You don't have anything new.
Oh, yeah, I came to this thing this morning while I was sitting out in the under my pecan trees reading. Like, I was thinking in my mind, I was wondering who, I mean, this is obvious as soon as I say it, but I was trying to think who I was trying to live up to, who these standards were, and where they came from. And who the audience was that I was doing all the stuff for. Like, I was sitting there thinking about it, who, where did I, I'm like, it's me, I'm the one. And like, all of a sudden I said, well, I release you from that, I don't want you to do that anymore. Yeah.
It's like, remember in Ezekiel 8, it's, you go into the temple, and you dig a hole in the wall, and then there you find the ancient ones, the elders. Well, that's, all those ancient ones and the elders are all your aunts and uncles, early teachers and fathers and mothers, and they're standing behind you and they are judging everything you're still doing. Mm-hmm. Well, fire the motherfuckers.
Good idea.
Just fire them.
You're fired.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I absolve you of all this.
Go back to your house, there's just nothing here.
Yeah. There's nothing here.
Move along.
There's nothing here but the Spirit of God. He doesn't need your help.
Yeah.
You got it? You got a firearm. All right. Neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the king of Judah, kings of Judah, and they have filled this place with the blood of innocents. You have killed more people in your striving to get here, to get your own, defining your own success. If you could see what you were doing in the spirit, you have slain more people than Hitler. Every time you have withdrawn from someone because they didn't meet your standards of behavior, in the spirit, you might as well have taken a knife and cut them up into little pieces. You've murdered him. Think of the thousands of people you've murdered in your life, starting when your earliest ages. You fill this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places in your minds, the high places where you've defined your own worship, where you're worshiping the ancestors, where you're worshiping the molten images that define your emotions, where you're worshiping your ideas and opinions that are the graven images written on the walls of your mind, where you're worshiping at the grove, which is your own sexuality. You don't have to worship there anymore. You can let it go. They also have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offering unto Baal, which I commanded not, neither spake it, neither came it into my mind. Now you have all been passed through the fires of Molech your entire life. From the earliest, the simple one is, the simple little fires of Molech are, smile, Johnny, or smile, Louie. You tell your cousin you had a wonderful time. You hated it.
Say you're welcome.
Yeah. Say you're welcome for this wonderful present. Say thank you. If you don't eat your peas, you won't get your dessert. Every one of those phenomena are passing you through the fire of Molech. And you wonder why it takes so long time to have them destroyed? Because that's all you've known. And the fires have burned those impressions deep within you. And it takes the fire of mercy to remove them. God wants you abandoned, free. But he wants you tested. So he allowed all this shit to take place, to test you fully, so that you'd be knit together and fit into the eternal body of Christ. That we can get foretastes of and glimpses periodically as we go through these feasts and weddings and ceremonies. All right. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom. Tophet means sorrow, or but the valley of slaughter. Now we'll talk about that in a minute. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, in this temple. I will make void the council of those phony elders and that phony bad news, bad ability Sanhedrin that's been governing you. And I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies. That's why the word of God is a sword. That's why the one that speaks the word, it's a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. Now that word plagues there means leprosy. They, people, you shall be made as the offscoring of all things. You shall be... Remember when you went through the acid tie? I told you. Why do you want to be part of this? Don't you know you'll be made as the offscoring of all things? Don't you know that you will be considered an idiot, a fool? Why do you want this? Don't you know that they'll call you demon-possessed? Don't you know that they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service? Why do you want to be involved in this? I wasn't kidding. All right, verse 9. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend in the siege and straitness, wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. Now, thou shalt not see the kid in its mother's milk. The scriptures say, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may be fed. But it says here that you shall eat the flesh of your sons and your daughters and of your friends.
how in the hell does that happen in the spirit? Every time that your parents have gained identity, sustenance from your performance, they've eaten your flesh. Just as surely as they took a big bite right out of your buttocks and chewed it up bloody, now the problem is that that's how you have gained your sustenance. Since you won't bear your own burden, you've eaten the flesh of others that have. And I'm going to, you can kill me if you want to, but that's the singular reason that these stupid events like Maverick games, like cowboys, like sports activities, their singular purpose is to feed the people that are residents of Gehenna flesh so that they can gain sustenance from that activity.
You're saying like, you know, you go to a game and then you tell your dad and say, oh, that's great, that kind of shit.
No, it's when you feel bad if they lose and you feel good if they win, you're eating their flesh. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. No.
It's not your victory.
You're not, it has nothing to do with
you. I tried to play them. You know, I went to that game, whatever.
Okay, well, herein, that's pretty obvious. You know, you feel good because you see a movie while you're eating their flesh. Ancient Israel had no drama. Save in the kinds of stuff we did at the wedding. It was an internalized stuff. There was no professional drama. Because
the drama was
the drama, but there's a word, solipsism. Is that the word I'm thinking of?
That's a word.
Solipsism means that the art form takes its identity or takes its function from the experience of the moment rather than from some imaginary phenomenon. So that those of you who are interested in art as painting or writing or anything, that you find, as you the more you hear this stuff, the more you'll find out that you can no longer just go over there and say, okay, I'm going to go write a story, or I'm going to go over here and paint a picture. It has to emote and explode from your experience of that moment, so that you have borne the burden of that which is produced. So you're not gaining your identity in the art form from usury, i.e. something you're projecting, or from the past. You're gaining it from the experience of the moment in which, that's why God even permitted art to be. Do you understand?
No, go into this more. Why did God permit art to be?
It has nothing to do with all this great stuff about, oh, God wants to show the beauty of the world.
Yeah.
God permitted art and art forms so that it would be an instrument of you being able to, through your own expression, reveal some spiritual truth from your own experience.
Yeah, part of the mystery of that moment.
The mystery of that moment. That's why dance can't be something that you go and watch in terms of a ballet. Dance has to be your expression of praise at the moment. That's why music has to be the, you know, all the stuff we've talked about this before. If it's not, don't you see what you're doing? If it's something that you go to, then you are eating the flesh of those performers instead of bearing your own burden and eating the flesh only of the Son of God. You're gaining identity and sustenance, either positive or negative, from some other activity. That is forbidden. That's what this lesson is that we're reading about. That's what, now, the tie-in to Pentecost, the tie-in is that you shall not see the kid in its mother's milk, any of you. That means that you can't even gain your identity in here from someone else's. You are rejoice with them if they rejoice. You cry with them as if they, in other words, you experience their experience.
Are
You understand what I'm saying? You cannot be the observer which looks on and therefore eats flesh. The injunction to me is I cannot gain my identity by your performance. I cannot seethe you in the mother's milk. This is your mother. The body is the mother. That's why it says, call no man on earth father, call no one on earth mother. This is my mother. And we cannot seethe each other in the mother's milk.
Seethe in
the... Boil. So that you can eat it. You can't gain identity from John Bloom's celebrity.
It's like if you had a Bible study, okay, you go one day, they come to your house, you preach real good that day, right? So you're happy because you heard.
Yeah.
And they come another day, and you preach real good, but they don't hear, so you're unhappy.
Yeah. You've seen. I mean, it really. It's nice, and it's a joy when you are tested and you know, but it doesn't really affect me whether or not you hear or not. And I don't really need your applause. That doesn't make me a bastard, insensitive. It makes me a spiritual man, the same as you. I don't need your approval to have identity, nor do you need mine. Hallelujah. Amen. Your identity is based. I told Rex, he's been going through all kinds of stuff. Rex has spent 60 years establishing his worth by performance. And all of a sudden, some idiot comes along and tells him he has to throw all of that away and get his identity from a glass of wine and worth from a glass of wine. Well, that's kind of rough. Don't be surprised if it takes a little time. But can you understand the seething in the mother's milk and how you eat the flesh, you gain your... And the test is very simple. If you feel good, if the Mavericks win, and you feel bad if they lose, you're gaining identity from it. Now, I don't want you to stop going to Maverick games. I don't care about that. I just want you to see what you're doing. I don't care what you do, as long as you know what you're doing. God will be his own efficacy. In other words, he will perform he will perform that which he has called you to do. He will both will it and do it in you, as long as you see what you're doing. You don't have to, and as you see it, you don't have to worry about it. What you hear is what you see is what you'll do. I guarantee you, the next time the Mavericks win and you feel good, or the Mavericks lose and you feel badly, it'll cause you a little twinge. Now, all of this stuff is preparatory to Pentecost. So that in the seeing of it and the desire to be freed from it, you can see that this old being has been crucified on the cross. And, sir, it seemed to me it's starting to stinketh. Let's bury the son of a bitch. That's what baptism is. You're buried. You are crucified on the cross with Christ. Now let's bury the dead body. That's in baptism. That's all that's taking place. That's what all this is about. So you can see how deep shall a cross go? Deeper still. Until there's only the joy of his presence. Amen? We didn't study the stars. I quit. Anybody got any comments, suggestions? Any suggestions for improving the sermons?
I think you need a blank dress.
I think
it's fine. What? I have a dress I can use.
Yeah.
I hope it fits.
I think you need a collar.
Yeah, the collar.
Mary Widow. Get the Mary Widow. The collar. Oh, God.
So precious. Can you think, imagine any more disgusting than me and a Mary Widow?
No, I really can't. I really can't.
With a rubber chain. Yeah.
And we've said a lot of disgusting things today. That's
worse than maggots.
Yeah, I know. It really is. That's worse than the pussy.
Pussy? Okay.
pus and stuff.
Not to be confused with pussy.
Jackie.
I'm just reporting what she said. Or...
You are supposed to be the monitor guy.
Better assume that no golf is going to quit.
Yeah, no golf.
That's my only hope.
Everybody understand perfectly?
Perfectly.